All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line for our first interview, we were just having a bit of a discussion early on about the kind of international kind of situation with COP26. So we have national co-convener of Social Alliance, Sarah Halfway, who is actually has recently written an article about the COP26 conference and Australia's sort of contribution to it. So yeah, good morning, Sarah.
Morning, Jacob. Morning, everyone.
Morning, right. Sarah. It's Chloe here as well.
Hey, Chloe.
All right. So I guess maybe possibly to kind of start off, I guess, this kind of discussion, kind of, Sarah, is like around kind of a few weeks ago, I think it was last week, actually, Morrison kind of announced his kind of plan, his sort of groundbreaking plan about how Australia is going to be committing to net zero emissions by 2050. And I guess from the perspective of, you know, of a socialist and someone on the left, what is really your kind of opinion on Morrison's net zero by 2050 supposed climate plan?
Yeah, well, I guess firstly on the 2050 target, I think it's fair to say from a socialist perspective that 2050 isn't a target, it's a death sentence. You know, all the climate science says that we need to get to net zero by 2030 at the latest, if we're wanting to keep that warming at 1.5. I guess aside from that, just, you know, looking at Morrison's supposed plan, it's not really much of a plan. I think, you know, there was a lot of memes going around on the internet about, you know, relying on magic and stardust to get us there, because, you know, there's no new policy, there's no new investment, and he's largely seems to be relying on carbon capture and storage. It's incredibly unreliable and faulty. So, you know, I don't even know how we're going to get there by 2050, let alone 2030.
Because one of the kind of things about this plan is, I mean, essentially it is just the current kind of status quo in Australia, because, I mean, there's not necessarily any change, because really the implications of this plan essentially means that the federal government is actually going to continue to support fossil fuels. They're going to continue to support, they're going to continue to subsidise fossil fuels. They're going to continue to roll out sort of fossil fuel kind of projects. But basically there's some commitment that, which I think has been a failure of the climate movement, because I guess one of the sort of logical assumptions of this plan is it's essentially relying on an assumption that the market is just going to resolve itself, and that, you know, we're going to exhaust all the fossil fuels and the profits of the fossil fuel industry, and then profits will go down eventually for the fossil fuel industry, and then gradually renewable energy sort of companies are going to sort of take over, and then the technology will be profitable. And of course, one of the government sort of commitments on that is they will sort of make some intervention, and this is sort of part of the plan, which is, oh, they'll help lower down the prices of some of this kind of technology.
Yeah, no, it's just ridiculous. And look, there are some, you know, companies starting to lead the way, private companies, but without that political leadership, and as long as we've still got a federal government that are pouring billions of dollars into fossil fuel subsidies, like, there's just no incentive there for, you know, companies like Santos, who we just cringingly even have on our pavilion at COP26, and other gas companies. You know, why would they transition to renewables if they're just going to keep getting handouts for gas exploration and extraction? So, yeah, it's a bit of a non-plan.
And I guess the next kind of question to kind of go point is really in terms of, like, you know, Morrison's kind of net zero by 2050 plan, and also Australia's, how do you think, what is your, like, political assessment of how Australia is, in terms of what it's bringing to COP26, even compares to other capitalist kind of countries that are coming over to the COP26 conference in terms of their plans to reduce emissions?
Yeah, well, we played a really appalling role. I should say, Scott Morrison and Angus Taylor, our energy minister, played a really appalling role. And it's not just that, you know, we've gone in with our non-plan for 2050, but we've been, you know, actively undermining other attempts or targets or proposals that have come from COP26 or the G20 summit in Rome before then. And the two examples of that is there was a global methane pledge was one of the key actions to come from COP26. And that's because, you know, methane is one of the biggest contributing gases. It was one of the easiest ones to reduce. We're now up to more than 100 countries have signed on to reduce methane by 2030. But Australia actively, you know, undermined this action and refused to sign on. And bizarrely, we're in this situation where countries like the US and the UK have signed on to this. And Australia is siding with China, Russia, India and Iraq. So in terms of geopolitics, these are the countries that we would normally, I guess, be politically opposed to, and the countries that we generally be politically aligned to, we're not when it comes to climate. Probably the other thing just to mention is there was also a proposal for advanced economies to reduce coal by 2030, and Australia managed to undermine that completely, and that didn't end up going through. So we've just played an appalling role, but I think it's important to make the assessment that other capitalist countries have let us play this role. You know, we're not being marginalised as much as we should be, and I think largely it's because, well, by comparison, people like Biden and Johnson and other world leaders now look really progressive on the climate front because they can point to Scott Morrison and say, well, look how bad they are over there. Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, one of the kind of things that this kind of reflects is the fact that, you know, Australia as a country, you know, going, you know, given that Australia is like a settler colonial kind of state, that basically its foundation is based on the dispossession of Indigenous people from their land. And I guess one of the kind of inherent legacies of that has been the fact that the biggest sort of capitalists within Australia are within the mining, we're essentially living in a country that is essentially addicted to fossil fuels and relies on it at the kind of basis of its economy. And I guess in terms of like the alternatives, I mean, what can you say about in terms of like what are the kind of socialist kind of solutions and demands that I guess we need to be kind of fighting for in terms of the climate movement, especially in terms of addressing and challenging the kind of dominance of the fossil fuel capitalists over the capitalist system within Australia?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, well, you've kind of hinted at one, and that is the fact that both of our major parties are effectively bought and paid for by fossil fuel companies. So, you know, those companies donate millions to both the Liberal and ALP, and then in return, you know, they give billions back in fossil fuel subsidies. And so, you know, we don't have a proper economy. A proper democracy. And if you add into that the role that Murdoch Press plays in this country. So, you know, for a start, just getting rid of private donations to political parties and having publicly funded political campaigns at election time would stop that level of influence. The other thing is, you know, it's not rocket science, something we've been talking about for a long time, but we need a rapid government-funded transition to renewables. We need to electrify everything. We don't need gas. And we've known this for some time, so it's just totally bizarre that there's this push for gas at a time where, you know, all the science, all the technology is there that would allow us to completely transition away from gas to, you know, renewable-powered electricity. You know, there's organisations out there like Beyond Zero Emissions. They have a number of plans to repower our manufacturing sector with renewables. So there's been a lot of talk recently about green hydrogen. They've also got a million jobs plan. And again, the data shows that there is more jobs to be created in the renewable sector than there are jobs in the fossil fuel sector. So all the plans, all the data, all this technology is there, unlike the carbon capture and storage plan. We just need the political will and the political leadership there, and that's not going to happen as long as our parties are beholden to the fossil fuel companies.
All right. Well, do you have, Sarah, do you kind of have any kind of final comments you would kind of like to kind of make before we kind of conclude this kind of discussion?
Yeah, I just think, you know, as we're coming out of lockdown here in Victoria, I'm sure you guys will give a plug. I saw there's a number of rallies on this Saturday, but, you know, the only way we are going to ensure there is that political will and ensure that there is any way forward is to get back out on the streets now that we can. So it's really important that we get involved in climate groups and we get to these rallies and we put political pressure on all parties to take action.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Sarah, for that. And, yeah, I definitely want to, say to our listeners that there is going to be a COP26 protest happening tomorrow at 1 p.m. outside the State Library, which has been called by Uni Students for Climate Justice. And I think that will be, I think, an important protest to get as many people out on the streets, especially because it's really the big change is actually going to be coming from movements on the streets. The governments aren't going to just listen to lobbying and just coming up with nice climate policy. We actually have to force the government to implement these the changes that we need, and we have to fight for it.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.